Les Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. The Canadian Foundation for Cross-Cultural Dialogue, in partnership with the National Campus and Community Radio Association, and this station present Les RVF Marathon, which aims to promote language duality in Canada across the country. Stay tuned for this marathon day of the Rendez-vous de la Francophonie and visit www.ncra.ca/RVF for more information on this event.
Welcome, everyone. I am Eric Tremblay from 92.1 FM, your Amherst Island Radio, right here in Stella, Ontario. And today, as part of the Rendez-vous de la Francophonie series, we're going to be talking to two fantastic women, Denise and France, who are sisters, who grew up in Northern Ontario, Timmins, Ontario, to be specific, and they grew up in the 40s and the 50s. And it's really before the word bilingualism really existed. So I wanted to talk to them about bilingualism and what it meant to them when they were growing up. And I think you're going to enjoy this conversation because what we think about bilingualism today isn't exactly how it was 60 years ago. So ladies, let's just start from the beginning. Tell us a little bit about what bilingualism meant to you when you were kids.
Well, we weren't aware that, about that word, first of all.
That word didn't exist.
For us.
Back in the day, there was no bilingualism as a word. It just didn't exist. It didn't come in probably till the 60s. That term wasn't actually used. I don't recall that term. You were either French or English or Italian or Polish. It was never bilingual. You speak both languages. Because we didn't at first. We spoke French at first. And then we had straight English. I learned how to speak English on the street.
That's just the way it was.
Because when you went to French school, the only subject that was taught in English was English.
But in our family, both parents were Francophones from Quebec. My mom didn't even know how to speak English. And we were in this.
At all.
She understood. And my dad knew how to speak English because he worked in the mines in Pamour, Ontario, up north.
Okay. Well, what about when you go shopping, when your mom went shopping and all that stuff in Timmins?
She went to French stores. The French
there
bakery.
There was some. There was
the
some.
French this, the French that. And when she went to Bakovetsky's, remember that? Mm-hmm. The general store. She probably sought out French-speaking clerks.
But she didn't need that much English because she knew to say yes, no.
That's it.
And that's it. If she was buying something, you know, she wants it, yes. How much? She knew a few little words. But she was very adamant for us to speak French in the house. French radio.
CSCL radio.
We had French radio. We had the French church. French newspaper. There was a...
No French TV, though. There was no French TV.
Well, in the end of the 50s, there was... one channel from Quebec, but I don't know which one it was. Radio Canada. I think it was Radio Canada. But we didn't need the English, really. We really didn't need the English. Only at school later on, when you were learning English at school. I started really speaking English in grade 9, really.
We just spoke French at any time.
That was a French school. They were all Francophones. In there were no English like today. Like, you know, today that you can send your child to French school even though you're an Anglophone. Because the kids,
they allow it.
Well, did you guys allow it?
No. They don't allow it. The teachers get after you, right, if you speak English. But it's easier for them to speak English because of all the media, computer, everything is in English. Kingston is very Anglophone oriented. But go to other places, like Timmins is very French, Timmins, Ontario. Up north, the further up near Kapuskasing is all French. There's a lot of French schools, but here, depends on the location. Mm-hmm. Like in Windsor, Ontario, it is very Anglophone, but there is a population of French.
Small. Outside.
Yeah, small. But there are 13 French schools in Essex County.
Yeah, but it's mostly Anglophone French. People that decide they want to give a leg up to their kids,
exactly.
So they send them to English or French school.
Exactly. They realize how important it is to learn both languages, which it is official right now. to learn both.
But it wasn't official back in our
day. No, it wasn't.
No, it was totally different in your situation. Did you have Anglophone parents sending their kids to French school?
No, never.
No.
Never.
Why?
I never saw that. They just didn't think it was necessary. I think it was just an ethnic thing for them. Oh, the French, the English, like I said, the Polish. Everybody had their... There was room for everybody, but they didn't intermix that much. Not like today.
No. Also,
they didn't mix.
The French, the English people were... They were branded as... Pas catholique, là, mais...
Protestant. Alors, la
ligne
était religieuse?
We weren't allowed to play with the Protestants at all.
Quoi?
No. Maman said,
mother... Vous pouvez pas jouer avec eux?
No.
I remember my father actually saying this. Don't ever bring a Protestant boyfriend in this house. That's how crazy.
T'avais quel âge quand il dit ça?
14, 15. That's how crazy.
So
that
we couldn't go play
to
with them because let's say we're going skating. Oh, and there's a bunch of Protestant there because you know if they were English, they were branded Protestant. They could have been anything else, which is the fact they were speaking English. They were branded as.
It was a very short-sighted thing.
Yeah.
Religion was in the mix.
A lot. Always. A lot. Yes. Hey, a lot.
Listen, religion ran everything back in the day.
Yeah.
In our day. The Catholic Church was huge. They dictated. Most more in Quebec, but even where we were, I mean, we went to church every Sunday, abided by everything. Their priest used to come to our house to play cards. You remember that?
Well, that was later
that
on.
Was social.
But they would come in and check the family. See if we had, you know, how many children do we have? They wanted to populate, of course, you know, the 40s, the 50s. And then...
Well, those were the days of no birth control either.
Yeah. But they wanted to check. You know, they would come in and you had to... Comment t'appelais ça? How did you call the money you give to a priest every year? We don't do it anymore.
Tithe. Tithe in English.
There's a name for it. It was your duty to give so much from your salary.
10%?
Something
like that. Yeah, tithe in English. But then, T-I-T-H-E.
But the priest would come and
the
collect.
No, oh, no, the priest. No.
The priest would come and collect that in your house.
In your house?
Yes.
So you, didn't you have enough francs?
No.
Dimanche?
Oh, oui. Yes, but that was just...
That's different.
It's different. You had to give some money. I don't know how much. But the priest would come in. My mom would give him a coffee or a tea, whatever, and then he would want to see all the kids. And that's what I remember.
So, see all the kids, what does that mean?
He wanted to know...
I don't remember what she remembers. Okay. I'm younger, so...
Yeah. Well, he wanted to know, like, he wanted to keep his parish, his...
Paroissien.
He wanted to know, you know. Priests don't know who's there now.
So he wanted to know the names.
The names, the age.
Would he write all those down?
I can't remember if you wrote it down, though. I can't remember that. But I remember Mama always said, le prêtre s'en vient.
Préparez-vous.
Moi.
Changez vos affaires. Là.
Moi.
Lavez vos mains.
So, lavez vos mains.
So that was then, eh? That was in the 50s. I remember.
Mm-hmm. See, I was born in 48, so I was too young for that.
Yeah, you can't remember.
I can't remember. I would be... six or seven.
Yeah.
I can't remember that far.
So when you think about bilingualism, it wasn't a word.
It was never, I've never heard that word. I think it was maybe beginning of the 60s word where the country became officially bilingual. I don't even know what year that was. I do not recall hearing that word, bilingual.
So, but when you, okay, let's think about, like, let's say the first jobs you ever had. What was the kind of language that was
English.
In those jobs? Mm-hmm. Tell me about, Franz, tell me about the first job you ever had.
The first job I had, I was just a teenager, and I worked at a local stationery store. I can't even remember the name of it.
Hallmark.
Not well-known like that. Not a brand. It was a local store, and it was all English. There was no French there. I was just lucky to get the job. Then I worked at CFCL Radio and Television, and there was a divide there, because on one side was French radio, and on the other side was English TV, so you could see the French staff and the English staff.
In the same building.
Yeah. They mixed together, obviously, but yep. You could see the divide in television broadcasting.
Yeah.
There was the French side and English side.
Was there any cooperation, even though you're in the same building, how much cooperation was there between the two outfits?
Oh, I remember being quite cooperative.
Yeah.
Because I remember having to do voiceovers in French for the French radio station in the same building and doing English voiceovers on the television side.
There you go.
So they would exchange staff.
Were you doing that yourself?
I was doing
okay.
That
myself. Okay, so do you think you were? It was a bonus for them to hire you, that you could speak both languages?
I wish I could say that. In part, it might have been, but the president and the owner of the television station was a friend of my father's.
Monsieur Lavigne.
Monsieur Lavigne.
Yeah, Conrad Lavigne. So really, it was that.
It was who you know kind of a
that. At that particular time, yes, it was. But the staff was interchanged, no doubt about it. But only the bilinguals, obviously, because they can work in both languages and switch medias. Because I remember them coming to get me. Oh, go get Francois. She can speak English. She'll do the voiceover and then back again.
Did you have a French accent when you were speaking in English?
No, I didn't do that, man. Don't come spell aujourd'hui. Same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, same thing.
So you're pretty good neutral from that perspective.
Yeah,
it worked
I could
for
do
them.
Both.
Yeah.
So I can remember being used for both.
Yeah. Okay, what about you?
Well, my first job was, my dad, first of all, he had a furniture store. And next door to him was a quincaillerie, which is, what is it?
A hardware store,
Monsieur Aubé, do you remember?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You had nine kids.
Yeah, nine kids.
Yeah, so you had a hardware store.
That's right.
And he asked my dad, Thomas Hudon, if, because he knew he had girls, you know, and he said, can you come and dust? You know, there was some glass in the hardware store, the glass stuff. Come in on the after work or after school. Okay, after school, come and dust after school. So I would go a couple of times a week, and I was happy with that, you know. But a lot of clients were English, of course. I didn't talk to the clients. All I did was
store.
You were dusting.
The store was open, but you were... Yeah.
I was
dusting.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my first job. I think it was in the summer.
How old were you?
Oh, I think I was in grade 7 or 8.
Could you speak English?
I understood English. Still, I still have an accent. Though.
But you could speak English.
I could.
No.
I could understand and say some words, but I could not do any hard working.
Yeah.
At school, you know, work and do some English work. Because we didn't learn it.
You didn't learn English by then?
No.
There was no English course.
There was no English. No, we had to, even the library, there was a library there, would go and get some books. They had to be in French.
That's right. There was a French side and an English side.
Yeah.
Our whole life has been spent French side, English side.
Yeah.
Really, when you think about it.
The public library. It was only one library.
So this was your first job as basically a teenager.
Yeah.
What was the next job after that?
The next job after that was a lodge, a summer lodge, and I would, I was sort of a waitress, but I lived there. We had a couple of girls we were in an apartment, you know.
You were about how old at this point?
I was in teacher's college, just before teacher's college, yeah. I was 17, 13. And... of course, it was a tourist place, and it was mostly in English.
What city? Still Northern Ontario?
No, it was around Cochrane area.
Okay.
Cochrane area, up north.
And it was a tourist place?
It was a tourist place.
What was the main language of the business?
English. Even the owners were in English.
Okay. And when you were hired to be sort of a waitress, did it matter what language you spoke?
Yes, they wanted English.
Were you at a disadvantage?
Well, they wanted both, actually. I think they wanted both. I don't remember. I think they wanted both.
Okay. So were you at a disadvantage because your English wasn't that great?
No.
Or by then, was it okay?
I didn't feel it, but I did feel uncomfortable that I could not have a nice, you know, English language like everybody else, because I didn't know it. A lot of words I didn't know. We enjoyed it, but it was English.
And do you think the fact that you spoke both languages had any bearing on you getting that job?
No.
How did you get that job?
No. I got my job. I went to the Do you remember there was an office and they would find jobs for you in Timmins?
No.
What was it called?
I don't remember that.
I can't remember. So far away.
Must have been some sort of employment.
Yeah, employment.
Government employment.
They would find jobs for you. Okay, so I wanted, because I was, I wanted to work in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the job I had that wasn't French at all. It was just a job. English, Spanish, whatever you wanted.
Okay, let me jump in there for a second. Let me remind the listeners that we're in conversation right now with Denise and France. They are two fantastic ladies that are lending us their time today to talk about what it was like growing up in the 1940s and the 1950s in Northern Ontario. Timmins, Ontario is where they were both born, and now they live in Southern Ontario, but they still have fantastic memories. And so we've been in conversation, chatting about stories, and really trying to focus the conversation on what did the word bilingualism mean to them when they were growing up in the mid-20th century. It's really, really interesting. So anyway, you're tuned in today because you're listening to part of the Rendezvous de la Francophonie 2019 series. It's a fantastic series that celebrates the diversity in Francophone culture here in Canada. And the episode you're listening to right now has the Ontario context. And it's being produced in part by Amherst Island Radio 92.1 FM. We're located in Estella, Ontario, and we're floating right in the middle of Lake Ontario. In fact, we're sitting on Amherst Island, right on the edge of the Thousand Islands near Kingston. So if you're ever in the area, we suggest you drop in because we've been going 13 years strong as a 100% volunteer-run radio station. So now, let's get back to the subject at hand. Denise, France, I've talked about all kinds of fantastic stories to date. We still have more time. We left off speaking about jobs. Maybe you could take a second to tell us a little bit about, you know, it was a different world in the mid-20th century. What were the salaries even like when you started in the workforce?
I can remember making $90 a month once and thinking I hit the jackpot.
No way.
Really? Because at the threshold, I made $90 a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rich.
I remember my first teaching job. I was making $4,000 a year.
Wow.
Teaching what grade?
I was a grade two.
Grade two, $4,000 a year. And that was good. That was fine money.
That was a normal
teaching
job.
The normal rate.
$4,000. And it was okay. Of course, I lived at my mom's, you know.
Yep.
So I did, I think I paid her like $20 a week to stay there.
And board.
And board and, you know, food.
Yep.
And that's it. The rest I kept.
Well, that's about a quarter of your money.
Yeah. But you had to pay something, you know. Things were less expensive then than today. Mm-hmm. But that was a normal salary, right? For a teacher, $4,000?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go back to when you guys were kids and there was this sort of separation between the English and the French.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're on a block and there's English kids, like do you not see each other at the playground and stuff?
We'd fight with them. Yeah,
we didn't hang around.
No, we didn't.
They could be two doors down, right? Like who's two doors down from you?
Well, they were French.
They're all French.
That neighborhood was pretty French.
Yeah, where we were.
Jolie. They were all French.
Okay, so they weren't really close to you.
We didn't meet English kids, Eric, because we didn't go to English school. So we weren't as familiar as with them around our neighborhood. I don't remember them. The biggest thing that I remember, I wanted to be English when I was a teenager because it was easier.
Why?
Because you didn't have to go to school in French, you didn't have to work as hard at it, you didn't have to get big marks, you just had to get a passing grade. Because at that point, we were talking to English kids, and they went to Timmins High.
And High School.
Yeah, I remember asking my parents, can I go to Timmins High? Why do I have to go to a French school? And they said, no way are you going there. You're staying in the French system.
Mm-hmm.
I remember why, because they looked cooler. Those kids looked cooler. We had a uniform with a white shirt, a tie, a blazer, a skirt. The kids from Timmins High could go to school in jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah, Catholic uniform, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
I thought that was the best. So I wanted to go to Timmins High.
Yeah. But you know what? And my mom, they wanted us to go to French school because there were no French high schools when I was there.
No
French high school. So the only thing was, like Francois said, English. Yeah. So this is why she sent me to a French convent boarding school to learn the keep the French.
Outside of Timmins.
Outside. Yeah. Sturgeon Falls near Northerby, Ontario.
So that was in grade 9?
Yes.
Our parents had to pay to send us to the local high school, French high school. Mm-hmm. It was not paid by anybody but our parents.
Because it was the nuns that were teaching, right?
Yeah.
The nuns.
The nuns
teaching.
And the brothers. And the boys were the same.
It was sort of a private, It wasn't how do you say that? The government didn't pay them, you know?
And do you know another fact which will sound absolutely stupid today? I have never been to school with a boy in my class.
Yeah.
Ever. Mm-hmm. The boys never went to school with a girl in their class.
Well, elementary you did. Because Saint-Charles school.
Saint-Charles in high school.
Oh, high school. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's weird, eh?
It was completely
separate.
There was
no guys.
That's a very small minority now.
Yeah.
That do it that way.
Yeah.
What was the advantage of doing it that way, or the disadvantage?
That's the way the system was done. I don't recall.
We didn't know why. We just did it.
Yeah. We didn't ask questions in those days. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Okay, so one thing I don't understand, I missed in the conversation, is you went to French high school in Timmins, but you didn't because the French high school didn't exist. How do those two stories jive?
Well, there were changes between, don't forget, there's a difference in age, you know.
Yeah.
So there were changes that developed later on.
Yeah, they built
that I could go to that school, Saint-Thérèse in Timmins, Collège Notre-Dame in Timmins. Those systems didn't exist she came up. Mm-hmm.
Got it. But in both cases, the parents had to pay.
Yes.
Oh, yes, they had to pay by convent, of course.
Yeah.
I remember it was $40 a month then. My mom did send $40 a month.
I remember getting an envelope from my father to bring to school to give to the nuns, and there was money in it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have any buses when I was young. We had to walk to school.
Yeah.
And I think it took us about 20 minutes to walk to our school every day. No buses. And you know what? I don't remember did they teach English? Language at elementary?
I don't
remember.
I don't think so. They could have. That's very sketchy.
I don't remember learning English. I think we had a little bit of spelling.
I don't remember.
I think we had a spelling book or something.
No. So there was a bit of English teaching.
There was that bit, but there was nothing like, no conversation.
Okay, so how did you guys learn English?
Street.
But you're not talking to the Protestants.
You did after a while. Like, it wasn't consistent.
As you grew up a bit?
Yeah, as you grew up.
You didn't learn it as a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old. I think it might have been more like a 12-year-old. And then you start, whenever you have outdoor freedom as a youngster.
But we didn't read in English either. We didn't read in English.
No, I don't.
There was no English.
No.
There was no TV. You know, it was all French radio.
And don't forget, Denise, in our day, our parents, it's not like today with your kids. When we were kids, they just sent you outside to play. I don't recall being checked on.
No security. There's no security, right? Like, no security mentality.
None. So I guess you would meet these English kids on the street at different times.
Yeah, we'd stay outside, yeah.
But they weren't in-depth conversations. They were saying, you want to play hockey? You want to play, baseball? That was about it. It wasn't in-depth.
No.
So that's how we learned English. Playing outside with the other kids. Yeah.
So in most situations when you're out there as a kid, are you trying to find fun? Like trying to drum up fun?
It comes to you.
It comes to you. Because right now I send my kids outside, they almost don't know what to do,
That's the
problem. But there's nobody there. That's,
they don't know what to do.
There's nobody around. No. Us, we didn't have a TV. We didn't have
anything.
We had nothing.
We used to play kick the can.
Yeah, play outside. Skipping rope.
Because being inside is boring.
No, we got sent out. We weren't inside.
We had six kids.
We didn't hang around in the house.
Especially in the winter, we'd go skating. There was a
skating rink.
You would meet a lot of Anglophones at the skating rink.
Okay.
a lot of them.
So you got sent outside, though? You didn't hang around inside?
No. We just didn't do that.
We played outside.
It's not that we didn't want to say, I don't want to go out. We just went out.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of kids. Everybody did that, eh?
Everybody.
Because outside there were kids all over.
Yeah. And then you'd start playing games.
And there was a lot of gangs then, eh? Do you remember? There was always a group of English kids there with sticks.
Well,
they had sticks. They wanted to fight. The French.
Yeah, there were some
the French.
And we admit to some.
Yeah,
I think the boys more than the girls.
But we like to watch the fights.
Yeah, we like to watch the boys.
They were fighting.
Come on. No. How do you? What do you mean? What's a fight look like?
Well, the boys, they had sticks and hockey sticks.
They play hockey and baseball.
They play hockey on the road, eh?
I think it was more bravado.
And they had their hockey sticks and they were fighting.
Well, it was bravado, yeah. It wasn't anything violent.
No,
it was just, you know, but, bigger new one.
Yeah.
And all
this
stuff
so like nobody gets hurt.
Not really. I don't recall.
I don't remember, but I knew that they had.
It was French. Can we just call it friction?
There you have it, for a little friction. So there you go. So I really want to thank the two of you for spending some time with me today. This program, of course, is brought to you as part of the Rendezvous de la Francophonie 2019 series, and it's produced with the assistance of this radio station, which is 92.1 FM, your Amherst Island Radio, sitting here in Stella, Ontario. And again, I want to thank you two ladies for sharing a few stories. Those are really fantastic stories. And not only did it highlight the friction between English-speaking children and French-speaking children, it really highlighted the fact that the word bilingualism wasn't really in the vocabulary in the mid-20th century Ontario. Basically, that was before the Official Languages Act existed in Canada, and the concept of being bilingual really wasn't there. It was not like people were going to school or sending their kids to schools to have an advantage for jobs in the future. It wasn't like Anglophones or someone who spoke another language was sending their kids to a French school to gain advantage. It wasn't like that at all. It was much more rooted in just the natural ethnicities and the natural diversity of our communities. So it was very, very interesting to see that the times have changed just a little bit these days. When we speak about bilingualism, it's a lot more clear what we're talking about, given that Canada today has two official languages. So thanks again for coming today. Thanks again to the listeners at home who are taking some time to listen in. And I wish everyone a great day. This is Eric Tremblay again from 92.1 FM. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us for this marathon day of Rendezvous de la Francophonie, presented by the Canadian Foundation for Cross-Cultural Dialogue, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, and this station. For more information on les Rendezvous de la Francophonie events, or to provide feedback on the show, visit www.rvf.ca.